You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
PackersTalk.com. Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
So let's cut the chit chat and get into the real. We're gonna have to cut.
New York Bozo.
I'm going to go so angry Jim Rome on you, Brian, it's going to be ridiculous.
Jordan made some good points, and that was cute.
Who, me?
Well, you're real handsome. Your eyes look real nice today in that jersey, Brian. Tell you that right now.
And bring you some more devastation and more knowledge and more fun facts about
Did you just promise
tonight?
That we're going to go devastate all of our listeners?
Good evening, Packer Nation. Welcome back to another edition of Pack to the Future podcast. Tonight, we take a look at a year in review and also some splashes that have happened and some front office shakeups, all in tonight's episode of Pack to the Future. Joining me tonight, Dusty Easley and Jordan Peck. No Brian Fonfara. Sorry, guys. I know it's a big bummer. A lot of disappointment happening at the end of the year, and this is just another thing to add to the list. But we're going to do our best to fill the gigantic void that Brian leaves when he's not on here with us and give you the quality that you guys deserve. Dusty.
Hey.
Hello, bud.
Hey, I missed you guys last week.
Hey, how did everything go? You have a new cat.
Yeah, everything went well. Yeah, it was you guys recorded on Wednesday? Is that right?
We did.
Yeah, Wednesday last week. I had to get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning to go to the hospital for this baby. So I had to beg out. But yeah, everything went well. You know, besides we're tired because two children are tougher than one child. But yeah, everything's going great. It's we're home. He's happy and healthy. It's been pretty awesome so far.
I think it was the first time in PTTF history that two people recorded at the same location. Me and Brian recorded at the same location last week.
No, I listened.
Oh, you
guys did?
Did
that, John?
That's a shock.
Yeah, you guys dogged on my housekeeping abilities and my ability to cook. Just upsetting. And John, you took over the numbers and did an admirable job with them. You did. Yeah, I think I lost my job there. You did a really good job with those,
Dusty. I tried. I mean, I was like, I don't know. I honestly don't know where you're pulling your stats from, but your stats are outrageous.
I've got sources that are free that I'll just send you. It's not,
please.
I don't keep it a secret, but I mean, I do them on myself, John. It takes a lot of time.
I said it from the get-go, Dusty. I am a gigantic fan of numbers because numbers prove a point better than just our words. You know, there's truth.
Sure.
There's truth in numbers, and you bring the truth. And your truth giving this year has been outstanding and well appreciated.
Thank you, John. I thought you did good. The show was good. I mean, it was, you know, I think I listened to it after the game. And so I was sad listening to it. It was one of my, I was driving back and forth from the hospital to, no, I guess it was before the game. Driving back and forth from the hospital to basically put my 2.5-year-old down to bed. And then I'd go back and stay with my wife at the hospital. And so I'm driving back and forth. And that was one of the podcasts I was listening to. And you guys did good. Did real good. John, you did, I think you predicted that Hundley would have like a 600-yard passing game.
Close.
That didn't happen.
Close.
That did not. He came very, very close. Yeah, I got like a quarter of that.
Oh, man. I think later on in the year, I've picked... That's what we should actually do, is just talk about our huge misses that we had throughout the year. And like the predictions... I mean, I'll say flat out, I predicted the first podcast of the year. I think that Vince Beagle was going to lead the team in sacks. And apparently that did
close.
Not happen.
Very close.
Wait, actually,
he
didn't even record a sack, huh? Yeah, that's ultimately what the episode should be, is just us dogging each other and ourselves and just being like, yeah, why do people even listen to us still? But apparently people do, and it's awesome. Mm-hmm. But Dusty, it's great to have you back. And
thanks, man.
This is going to be a fun episode. We're talking about a lot of cool things. And Jordan,
hello, John.
How was your winter break from school? You miss your kids?
Yes, I do. I'm excited to go back to work tomorrow. It's been a couple weeks off, so it's been nice to have the time. But it'll be good to get back to work. So I'm excited for that. That's tomorrow. Tomorrow I go back to school. So enjoying my last night of break with you guys.
I know they miss you, for sure.
No, they probably don't. That's okay.
Are you gonna keep growing your beard throughout 2018?
I don't see any reason why I'm gonna trim my beard. So unless something,
are you gonna let it go longer?
Yeah, that's the plan. That's the plan. Man, gotta keep it looking sharp and straight, but. But yeah, I'd like to keep it longer. Like, why not? I've gone this far. I might as well keep going, right?
That's very true. Yeah. That's very true. I know when there's a Lord of the Rings remake in a few years, you got Gimli's part straight up on lockdown. Straight up lockdown.
John, how did you know that's think about it that way? How did you know about my plan?
That's three thus far.
That's three. Which pretty boy actor is going to play Legolas though? Who's going to be opposite me?
It's obviously going to be me. Oh, Dusty, yeah.
That's John's been talking about like the movie where he's going to be a homeless man. He's just keeping it under wraps. Like he's going out to Colorado to train to be Legolas. Oh, I know, John.
Yeah,
I like it.
This is true. No, actually, I'm going to be that big old nasty orc from Fellowship of the Ring. that's what I'm really training for.
He's Uro Kai. Uro Kai.
Yeah.
Any role that Jason Momoa plays, I can pretty much fill the part. Oh man.
Wow.
Well, guys, thanks for joining me tonight. I'm glad that it's just not me talking about this, because if it was, it'd be a very terrible show. All right, guys, enough of the chit chat. Let's talk some Packers. A lot has gone on in the last couple days since Sunday, and I know that we heard reports on Saturday that Capers was possibly out, and I just remember sitting around on Monday just thinking to myself, why haven't I heard anything yet? Is it actually going to happen? And finally we hear the greatest news of all time. Dom Capers is out as defensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers. And I mean, guys, your initial reaction, were you guys just like me, just sitting there waiting and like, is this ever going to happen?
Yeah, we had a text thread back and forth because the axes were kind of starting to fall around the league. And it was my two of my brothers and a friend of mine that I go watch games with. And it was just we haven't heard anything yet. I'm very, very nervous. Why have we not heard anything yet? And I was kind of off because, yeah, that was I was not able to kind of check in continuously. And so that text thread was just my lifeline because I had other things going on. And so I couldn't just check the internet for Capers news. And so I just kept hearing there's no news yet. Oh my gosh, there's no news whatsoever. No news. And then when it finally fell, it was just, it was just relief, just absolute relief.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not preaching to the choir here when I am preaching to the choir here when I say this, but it has been a long time coming. And I guess if I have a question to pose, for a little roundtable discussion right now, it's, do we want to stay in-house with this D coordinator job, or do we want to bring an outsider in to see what he can do with this defense? So Jordan, I'm gonna start it off with you. And do you want someone from in-house, or should we look outside our box a little bit?
Well, I found it interesting. If we were talking about this beforehand, I did find it interesting that not only is Capers gone, but our inside linebacker coach is gone, and our D-line coach is gone, which were arguably our two best-performing defensive groups throughout the season. So that was a little bit curious. So that limits it to our in-house options, I would say. It probably comes down to Winston Moss, Darren Perry, and Joe Witt. What I did find interesting on Twitter just in the past couple of days was Charles Woodson had nothing but good words to say about Joe Witt becoming our defensive coordinator, which I found very interesting. The bigger part of me would say to go out of house, to just kind of wipe the slate clean, and just bring in a guy with a new voice and new ideas, and not have someone that's been a part of this coaching staff for the past 9 years. But to hear such high praise from Packers that had played well for us, you know, back when the Capers defense was good, that is interesting. Just to hear Woodson say those words on Twitter, I think Tremont Williams and who else was it? Al Harris echoed his thoughts on Twitter. I did find that interesting. So if there was one guy I could pick from in-house, it'd be probably Witt to be our D coordinator. But I think the bigger part of me still wants a guy that's just a brand new set of ideas on the defensive side. I think that's what this group of guys needs to be the most effective. But it's a tough decision. I mean, this is always what we talked about, was firing Capers is the easy part. Now comes the tough part, is how do we get better? You know, how can we get a guy that makes us better? So I would still tend to lean out of house.
All right, Dusty.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way. I mean, the name I saw was Darren Perry. And Burnett was good when he was healthy. But after the year that Clinton Dix turned in, I kind of hate seeing the guy that coached that unit coordinating. And not to say that means he would be bad at it. I mean, he could be good. He could be bad. Even someone like Witt. I mean, you look at, I think of like promoting from in-house, and you look at what Edgar Bennett. Now, granted, none of us really know exactly what Bennett contributes, but he went from wide receivers coach to offensive coordinator, and not much changed, like, and not much improved. And so my fear of hiring from within, of promoting from within, is you get guys that are well liked in the organization, that have put in their time, that have done what they're going to, that, you know, and that's just kind of like, well, this guy's due. You know, this guy is ready to step up and do this. Now, they could be good. Witt could be fine. And what I kind of like about the in-house stuff is you get a guy like Witt, and I like what he's done with the cornerbacks for the most part this year. I mean, a lot of those guys turned in pretty good years. Is just, maybe you take a scheme like Capers that's kind of old and outdated, and you don't completely remake the defense. You don't completely undo everything and just put in a whole nother system. You basically take the parts of that you strip it, you take the part that's worked, that your team is familiar with, and you work in some new angles. It's a scheme this guy's been working on for a very long time. I'm sure he has ideas. Any of these guys have ideas of how to improve it. But anytime you promote from in-house, it seems to me that it could very easily just be, we're just going to, you know, we need to change. You know, Capers is gone. Let's just keep doing what we're doing. So I don't think I'd be mad. I don't think I'd like it if Perry was in. But like you said, people have said good things about Witt. I don't think I'd be mad if Witt did it, but I'd like to see someone from the outside. Just, I mean, there's talent on this side of the defense. That's one thing I'd seen people being like, well, what was Capers supposed to do? Well, he's supposed to get his guys, who there's a very lot of talent on that side of the ball, in a position to succeed. He never did that. Just, I want someone to come in and look at the talent on that side of the ball and be like, all right, well, here's what we need to do. And to me, like, I don't see that coming from in-house. I could be wrong, but I'm leaning out of house.
I'm in the same boat as you guys as well. Just some freshness to the mentality of this organization, I think, is much needed, just to where the Packers have been as of late. And I'm with you guys, and I'm gonna pose the same question for what could possibly be called a semi-surprise, maybe, the fact that Ted Thompson is no longer GM of the Packers. And I know that this is something that, you know, maybe some fans have been calling for, due to, you know, his lack of going after free agents, and you know, maybe he's stuck with some guys a little bit too long. And it's just, you know, there's certain quirks that you could pick up on Ted Thompson, but at the end of the day, you know, he still was a pretty solid GM in football. And the fact of the matter is he's no longer a GM. And I'm going to pose that same question, again to you, Jordan. Do you want someone in-house or out-of-house for a GM?
This one, I kind of the opposite, when it comes to defensive coordinator. I'd like for them to promote from within. If I had my choice, I'd like Elliot Wolf to be the guy. For this one, just going out of house, I mean, even the guys that you talk about that are out of house are guys that were working under Thompson. You talk about like a John Dorsey. That wouldn't be an option now since he's in Cleveland, but John Schneider in Seattle is still a possibility of coming this way. I believe it would cost us some draft picks in order to get him from Seattle, but that's still more of an option. But I don't think you want somebody that's completely different from Ted. I mean, the idea of building through the draft, you don't want that mentality to go away. So I think with Elliot Wolf, or another guy that's in the front office right now, I don't believe that strategy would go away. I just feel like it can be improved upon. The past couple drafts, it hasn't been great. He's done well with a couple picks, but for the past couple years, the drafts have been disappointing at best. So I think his ability there had definitely tapered off for the past couple years. But I think having a guy in house is probably the best move for us. To do it the way Thompson has been doing it, I think is okay. Just to improve upon it. Besides that, in terms of GM candidates, I mean, you'd be going with some assistant GM from another team. He'd probably have to bring in his staff there. I don't believe the front office needs a total overhaul. That's not what I'd like to see. Now, that may be the direction they go, but I'd like to see just... If I had my choice, I'd like Elliot Wolf to be our next GM.
Dusty, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of in the same boat. I mean, running a front office is different than running a defense. You don't want to overhaul the whole approach. You want, I mean, honestly, kind of what Thompson did this past offseason, which was kind of out of character for him, which was, I mean, something we've talked about for a very long time. I mean, I think I slightly disagree with Jordan. I think the drafts have been not amazing, but fairly good. I mean, this year they had, you know, Kevin King, Josh Jones, Beagle seemed fine when he was in. Williams and Jones, Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones both seem like they could be very, very good on rookie deals for us in the future. Last year was Kenny Clark, Jason Spriggs, Blake Martinez. Like, you look, they've got impact players that they've grabbed through the draft, but what they haven't done, that's just, it's a minor tweak, and it's what Thompson did a little bit this year, which he, you know, we were excited about the time, you know, but Bennett ended up deciding that he didn't want to play for us anymore. But I mean, it's supplementing your roster that you draft and develop with free agents, not necessarily high priced free agents, not necessarily big name free agents, but just guys to give you a little something at a position that you don't have anything. Like this year, we've been talking about for a year that tight end position. He went out and got Bennett and Kendricks. Now, you know, Kendricks, whatever, but Kendricks is a fine number two, and if Bennett was Bennett, I mean, that's really, really good. So just something a little more like that, you know. They did the extension, they did the Adams extension already, the Lindsay extension. I mean, all that stuff is great. And so I still want to see that stuff. You draft your guys, you like the guys that you have, you re-sign them when you can, but you also supplement that with free agency. Like, that's, to me, that's, and someone like you said, Wolf, who not only have, I can't remember what Thompson's role is now. It's like, it's not player operations or something, but he's like senior blah blah. He's going to go scout college players. Let's call it what it is. He's just going to college fields and he's just going to scout guys. Like, but you got a guy who clearly still has an eye for talent that will be in Wolf's ear, as well as Wolf's father, I'm sure, will have some input or at least some pointers. And I mean, one of the greatest GMs that we've ever seen. So, I mean, having a guy like that that's come up under Thompson, under that draft and develop mentality, he's seen what works, he's seen what doesn't, and then he has the ear of two guys who are highly well-respected GMs. Like, to me, that's what I would like. I would like this way, what the Packers have been doing it for a very long time, to continue with just some minor tweaks here and there. And like I said, we saw that under Thompson a little bit this past year, and I think if Wolf sees that can work and it's not purely draft and develop, that you're plugging holes as well, I mean, this team could be, I mean, this team is good with Rodgers, but this team could be very, very good with just a few patches here and there. And I feel like a guy in-house that just makes a few tweaks can do that. So yeah, I'm with Jordan. I think I'm all in on Wolf.
And I'm with you guys again. The question is, you know, was this maybe a plan that was in place when the Packers re-upped Elliot Wolf before the start of this past year? Do you think that maybe this was Thompson's last year's GM, and this was a plan all along, that Elliot Wolf was taking over the role?
I saw something today that said the board of directors instructed Murphy to get Thompson out of there, like after the season or maybe during the season. So I don't think this was the plan.
To be fair, that's been kind of refuted a little bit.
Has it?
Okay. Yeah, Murphy said it wasn't a directive, and a person on the board said it wasn't a directive, but that it was a suggestion.
But it probably, either way, it probably was not in place before the season. I can't.
No, okay. I'm sure the way the season went along probably dictated it or helped dictate the decision.
Yeah.
No, and I think that any person that comes in for this GM job, I mean, it's their butt that's on the line, and they're gonna make their moves and decisions. But I do like the fact that, you know, Ted can still bring his expertise, and you know, and like you guys said, a guy like Elliot Wolf, he has his dad, who was a phenomenal GM. So I mean, this kid is set up for success, and I'm assuming that that's probably what's gonna happen. But if not, then we'll talk about it on another episode of Pack to the Future, I guess. Guys, we're going to, one last thing, I guess, that happened that we can maybe quick talk about is Mike McCarthy gets a re-up for another year. No qualms about that, I assume.
Not for me. I think it's one more year added on, so he's through the 2019 season. So that still leaves the door open that this next season could be his last, because, again, it's kind of like Thompson just happened now. This would have been Thompson's last year on his contract. Usually you're not going to just be a lame duck GM or a lame duck head coach. So this next year, I mean, depends how it goes. It could theoretically be McCarthy's last year as head coach, or they could just keep doing this one-year extension deal. But I think Murphy even said today, like, Mike McCarthy's our guy. And I think that's the right decision to make a change in head coach. I don't think was warranted. You'd like to see how this team performs now with a new D coordinator, new GM, whoever they may be after one season. But I think getting rid of McCarthy would have been a little bit too much change, more change that's necessary at this point in the game.
The timing's really weird, though. Like, you just got rid of your GM. You don't have a replacement. Generally, when a GM comes in, he likes to have his guys in place. I mean,
yep.
You're right in that if you extend him a year, and then you fire him after this year, you don't have him lame duck, and the GM can still have his guy. It's just weird to me that, I mean, they're not going into, they're not taking this entire offseason to hire a GM.
That's honestly why I really think it's going to be an in-house guy.
I think so, too. I think it seems like it's pointing that way. Yeah. It was, the Murphy press conference was odd in that he said something about, like, you know, GM's going to come in and GM's going to have his pick of the guys. You know, he does what he wants. And McCarthy got an extension. Oh, yeah, McCarthy's our guy. Like, oh, those two things don't mesh.
He might,
like,
yeah,
if you say gets his pick and he's out of house and he doesn't like McCarthy, you also don't say McCarthy's your guy. Like, I get that you're putting on a show for the media. You don't always say exactly what's true. I just think that the timing of that move with doing a new GM is really, really strange. Which, like you said, I think that seems to point to an in-house guy.
Yeah, he may have been talking about other front office personnel guys. So maybe you could see Russ Ball maybe leaving. I don't know. I never know how to pronounce that guy's name. Brian
Gutekunst.
Yeah, I see it on Twitter all the time. I've never heard it said.
Gutekunst.
Yeah, I know he's him and Ball, I think, have both been interviewing for other positions, which is nothing new. It's off season,
right?
They kind of do that, but yeah, both those guys. I think one of them, and maybe Ball, I can't remember which one, was interviewing in Cleveland, where Dorsey just went. So that'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, I believe one of the guys was interviewing for the GM spot where Lynch ultimately went to. Is that San Francisco?
That was San Francisco. Yeah. One of them, I think the Texans GM just stepped down and got canned.
Okay.
And so one of them, I think I just saw that one of them is interviewing for that job as well.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that falls.
Yeah.
You guys ready to hand out some awards or what?
Yeah.
I'm
the
ready,
good and
John.
The bad awards. Everything is about to go down right now in our year-end award ceremony. Second, third time we've done this.
We'll check the record books afterwards.
Nailed it.
Guys, we'll start off with the top dog. All right, who was the MVP of this Packers season, Dusty?
Man, so you had a couple different ways I felt like I could have gone if I felt like it, but to me, when I look at kind of how the season played out, I'm looking at one guy. I'm looking at Davante Adams, who, I mean, the numbers are down a little from last year. I mean, he's one reception off of last year. He had 74 catches for 885 yards and 10 touchdowns. But he did that with half a season of Hundley. Like, this year, I think, feel like last season we were all kind of on the, I don't know why Devontae's out there. He wasn't really getting open. He wasn't really fighting back for balls. He dropped a lot of passes. I know he led the league last year and dropped touchdown passes. And part of me is still terrified that those dropsies are still going to come back at some point. But what he did this year, I mean, with Nelson taking a step back, taking several steps back as far as his effectiveness, and especially with how Hundley just refused to look at him. Looking what Adams did, just his footwork, the way he got open, what he was doing, just he was consistently open. He was consistently just mixing guys up. Just watching that development, watching that leap. I mean, if you would have told me in the middle of last year that Adams would have signed the deal that he signed and I wouldn't be upset about it, I would not have believed you. Like, I think what he showed this year hopefully is the ascendance of him as a player, and this is hopefully what we're going to see from him going forward, and that money was well deserved. So from what he did this year, what we saw from him on the field week in, week out, I got to go Adams.
Hey Tay, we paid him. I love it.
We did.
I love it. He was an awesome player to watch this year. Jordan, who was your MVP this season?
That's really hard to argue with Davante Adams. I'm going to go the other side of the football though. I'm actually going to go with our inside linebacker, Blake Martinez.
Nice.
Yeah, in terms of defensive production, you know, we've talked about Daniels for quite a few years. You know, Clay Matthews has fallen off. Nick Perry had a great season last year. Couldn't had a hard time staying on the field this year. Blake Martinez played all 16 games, tied for the lead in tackles in the NFL. That's exactly what we were looking for in an inside linebacker for a long time, and he has delivered. This guy is always around the football, and that is fun to see. The fact that this guy is only 23 years old and he's able to be an NFL leader in tackles, that's pretty exciting. So in terms of having another defensive coordinator coming in, just having this guy's confidence growing to be even more impactful than he is right now, it's exciting. It's very exciting. I think he only had one sack this season, but 144 total tackles. That's fantastic.
Tops in the league.
For a second-year player, that's exciting. That is very exciting. And also, too, you have Jake Ryan next to him. It could be a decent duo. For a couple young guys right there that could be anchoring that linebacking core. So, very excited. I think Blake Martinez has earned this MVP. And also, too, the one thing that he has in comparison to Devontae, too, just with the injury issue, like Martinez played all 16 games this year. So that's there's something to be said for that. For a guy that's making that many tackles and that many impacts that he was able to stay healthy, that's pretty impressive and something we hopefully that can continue as the years go on.
Yeah, you guys pretty much took the top two candidates for MVP. So I'm going to just give out the total MVP award to Davante Adams. And, I thought that the heart that he showed this year and everything, I thought that Davante was just outstanding. Nothing against Blake Martinez. He had a phenomenal, phenomenal season. And I mean, co-MVPs, call it what you will. I mean, we all know who the real MVP of this team is, but unfortunately we didn't have him for 7 weeks of the season, in the heat of the season, I should say, but, yeah, it was phenomenal football play by both of those guys this year, and they represented well. And we're going to move on now to our most improved player this year. And Dusty, who is your most improved player this year?
This one was really easy for me. I'm going Kenny Clark. That guy, I mean, I was talking about him before this season. I was really, really excited about the season he was going to turn in, but I kind of assumed I was a year early on him, and I also didn't think he was going to be what he was this year. I mean, playing that inside, he didn't play a ton last season. What he did this past year, or what this past season was, man, 4.5 sacks for a guy that basically sits in the middle and just eats up blockers is insane. He got better as the year went along. Like, it was impossible to take him to the ground. He was consistently, I mean, he was consistently taking double teams and sometimes splitting them and sometimes just holding them and not allowing those blockers to get up to the second level. And he was allowing Mike Daniels to kind of shoot some of those gaps a little more. And I mean, the pass rush wasn't great this year, but it was not those two interior guys, him and Daniels, having those guys side by side is just ridiculous. So just for what he did, kind of what he showed, and I think he's 21, 22. Yeah,
he's very young.
Like he's ridiculously young, and just the jump he showed from last year to this year has just been insane. So I'm very, very excited to watch that guy just develop from here on out, because what he turned in this year was nothing short of remarkable for a second year guy. So that was very easy for me. Absolutely, Kenny Clark for most improved.
And Jordan,
I can't disagree. Kenny Clark was my guy as well for a lot of the same reasons. You know, talking too about Ted Thompson drafts, I did say for the most part they've been disappointed. This one, I don't know if I'd say much maligned, but there were a lot of people that were not upset or not that were not happy with the Kenny Clark mm-hmm. pick on for round one of draft night. I do remember that. I think that was the year that, what was the guy's name? Miles Jack? Does that sound familiar?
I think coming back
from an injury, and he was still on the board. I think that he was the guy that I wanted, too. I'm like, just take a chance, and then we draft this guy, Kenny Clark, you know, boring name. I don't know anything about him. Defensive tackle. Like, we already have Daniels. It's turning out to be a great pick. And like Dusty said, he's so freaking young. So that's exciting. That's exciting. If this team is able to add a really quality edge pass rusher, either in the draft or through free agency this summer, the effectiveness of Daniels and Clark even goes up next year. Mm-hmm. They're getting in the quarterback's faces, which is going to be essential for us to be a more effective defense. So it's exciting to see that we have that part of the D-line shored up for quite a while. That's exciting.
I can actually be a little bit different than you guys. Finally,
ooh.
It's not about how you start; it's about how you finish. Demarius Randle finished the season strong, and he led the team in interceptions, led the teams in passes defended, and he was the only person to touch the end zone for the defense this year. So, I mean, the guy we're early on in the season, we're still talking about the same Demarius Randle that we saw going into the last season. Why is he even getting playing time? He had the big blow up early on in the season, getting into it with the coaches, and it just nothing seemed to be going his way and nothing seemed to be going right. And then all of a sudden, I think that was the moment that Demarius Randle like kind of found himself again when he got into it with the coaches, and we saw a completely different player after that. And it he's turned out to be probably, after we don't know exactly what we have in Kevin King, but what we saw of him was some really good football. But I mean, as it stands right now, Demarius Randle is our number one corner, and he has deserved that title just based on the way that he played. And I got to give it to Demarius Randle here.
Back to the Future is brought to you by Handmade by Heroes, officially licensed NFL, NBA, NCAA, MLB, and NHL products, as well as golf, medical, and U.S. military branch accessories. You can even have your own design, custom made, all handmade by U.S. military veterans. Paracord bracelets, keychains, lanyards, and more. Each handmade by a hero. Visit them online at handmadebyheroes.com and use promo code PACK for free shipping on your next order. Handmade by Heroes, empowering our nation's veterans.
We will be moving on now to our most disappointing player this year. Dusty.
It breaks my heart, man. It breaks my heart, but it's Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. And I was looking at this roster and kind of going up and down, and there was a couple other guys I could have gone. It's kind of mean to throw it at Hundley because he's kind of thrust in and he's asked stuff to do that he wasn't necessarily comfortable doing all the time. He wasn't good, but I could have gone Matthews. But Matthews, I thought, turned in a decent season. Like, the sacks weren't there, but he didn't look terrible. Perry wasn't on the field. But, man, like, Clinton Dix, I've been high on this guy. I live, smack dab in SEC country, so I watched him at Alabama for years, and I was excited about him. I watched him every year in the league. Got better at something. That first year in the league, he had range, but he'd overrun guys, and he kind of dip his head when he tackled. He'd miss a lot of tackles. Well, he shored that up in season two. And there's just so many things along the way. He kind of he shored up and he got better. And last season turned an All-Pro, and I had people telling me, you know, he's in the Pro Bowl simply because of the interceptions. Like, no, he was legitimately good last year. Like, he had been getting better. His range was tremendous. His tackling was good. His nose for the ball was good. His closing speed's tremendous. What has happened this year has been baffling. I don't know if it's a coaching thing, if because there's so many young guys, they've told him to hang back, but there's a passiveness to him that just has not been there. And he still has that close. That's the thing. The skills have not eroded. He still has that closing speed. He still has instincts. He just seems hesitant all year. He's been timid. He's been hesitant. I've heard some people theorizing that maybe he's been playing with an injury all year. Like, that may be. But it's just been watching this guy who I thought was going to just ascend to like an upper five safety this year. To watch him just turn in the season he did. It kills me. I hope he can turn around next year, 'cause I really, really like him a lot, but just watching him this year, I have no idea what happened, but it's, absolutely my most disappointed player this year.
Will the real Clinton Dix please stand up next year? That's what we'll say about it. Jordan, your most disappointed player this year.
Yeah, just one more thing to tack on to HaHa Clinton Dix. You know, just talking about, again, first round picks of Ted Thompson. I think besides maybe Clay, I think HaHa Clinton Dix was the one guy that pretty much everyone was asking for during that draft. Mm-hmm. I remember just as the draft was progressing, I'm like, all right, Clinton Dix is still there. Clinton Dix is still there, and we got him. I don't think anyone was upset about it. And just, yeah, exactly. No. To see this, how this has unfolded this past season was rough. You said it was a little mean to go after Brett Hundley, Dusty, but I'm gonna give my most disappointing player award to Brett Hundley. You're right. Tough situation. I mean, he's a backup quarterback, but man, oh man. I mean, this is your third year. You played at a big time school, UCLA. I mean, there's definitely flaws in the game. I mean, there's no question about that yet, but you have this great chance. You have a lot of weapons on this offensive side, and man, oh man, just did not play well almost all the time. He had a couple good halves, a couple good quarters maybe in his whole half season run, but man, it was, for the most part, it was extremely brutal to watch. So I know it's tough for all the blame to go on him, but it's even just the point of being playing mistake free football might have kept us in a couple more games. And that's what's disappointing, that we could still be, in theory, a playoff team with just marginally better performance from him. So that's who my award, my most disappointing player recognition goes to.
It's still an award. I mean, it's not a fun award, but it's still an award.
Yeah. No, it's not a fun award. It's not a fun award, but, you know, it helps us, you know, vent just a little bit about
the
way the season ended.
That's right.
And, you know, it wasn't 100% his fault. You could make an argument for it. But Jordy Nelson is my biggest disappointment this year. And when you enter the season, you know, arguing that Jordy Nelson is for sure a top 10 receiver in football, and he goes out and puts up 482 yards and 6 touchdowns. Granted, you know, he did get open in the Hundley games, you know, with some moderate to slight consistency, and Hundley was not finding him. But at the same time, I just don't know what happened to Jordy Nelson this year. And, he's going to be probably one of my players I'm going to be watching very closely next year to see what's going on with him, because if the Packers want success, we need Jordy Nelson, to be firing on all cylinders. And he's such a key part to this team, and he was non-existent the whole year. I mean, if you would pull up a stat line in any game that Hundley started, wouldn't surprise me if he had 3 catches for 15 yards every single game. I don't know what the exact numbers were, but he wasn't there. And whether it's Hundley, whether it was him, we don't know. But the bottom line is that Jordy Nelson was a non-factor when Brett Hundley was at quarterback. And you could argue who to blame, but at the end of the day, Jordy's responsible for Jordy. And like I said, I don't know what happened. Kind of the same light as Clinton Dix, where we know how talented both these players are. But they just weren't, they weren't showing out this year. So I'm gonna be keeping a close eye on Jordy, and unfortunately, but as much as I love you, you were quite the disappointment this year. So
I'm gonna ride in and for Jordy real quick, just in that he was, like you said, he was getting open. I think part of what killed Jordy with Hundley is Hundley seems like he has just zero anticipation. Like, he waits until the guy is open, and then he waits, and then he throws it. And Jordy was just his routes, some of his routes, he was still running these long developing routes a lot, which, you know, for a guy without that top end speed, it's hard. But he runs these nice little subtle routes, so, you know, kind of pushing a guy upfield on outside shoulder and then just cutting back in. And it's something, you know, you got to hit him out of the break over top of the linebacker, you know, in front of his guy. And you have to have timing and anticipation to do that. And those are two things that Brett Hundley just simply does not have. So, I mean, some of it's on Jordy, but I've seen people saying he should be gone after this year. He can't cut it anymore. I saw a guy that's still very useful. He's not the player he was. He's still very useful. He was just playing with a quarterback who basically every strength that Nelson has fit in nicely with a weakness that Hundley has. Like, it was kind of sad to see it. He was getting open, but he is slowing down quite a bit.
The thing about it too, though, is like, it's not, he was scoring touchdowns when Aaron was playing quarterback, but he was never blowing people away and getting those yards that we've seen Jordy do in the past. I mean, the most yards,
yeah, he's lost the most speed for sure.
The most yards he's had in a game this year was week one, and that was 79. So it's just one of these things where even when Aaron was in, we still weren't seeing the same Jordy. I mean, granted, the guy could be an amazing red zone threat, but at the same time, it's like I don't know what happened. It's possible that he lost that step, and that's what is kind of costing him in the yards area. But like you said, he was getting open. But you know, like I said, you could blame Hundley, you can blame Jordy. It's just, it sucks to see what Jordy went through this year. That's the bottom line, mm-hmm. I think.
That's true.
So moving on to that same side of the ball, the offensive side, I need you guys to give me what you think is an appropriate letter grade for the complete year. So with that being said, Dusty, what grade do you give the Packers offense this year?
For the complete year, like I had D marked down. But I think it's one of those, like, you remember the last thing that happened, right? And they turned in such a stinker. Like, the last, three or four games were just stinkers, man. I mean, you know, Rodgers was healthy for half the season, and they looked fine in those. I'll probably go C. I'll go middle of the road just because I feel like I'll say they're probably a B with Rodgers, and they were a D with Hundley. So I'll meet in the middle and say C, maybe C minus, like, they just, this is something I hope we see a little more of next year. I mean, just that the offense was just, it's just not one that's catered to the guys on this with these skill sets anymore. I mean, you talk about Jordy. I mean, that guy used to take the top off of defenses. You can do so much. Well, they don't have that anymore. Adams isn't necessarily a speed guy. So they're still operating the same system with aging players that don't necessarily fit it anymore. It just, even with Rodgers, it's still been a struggle. But they're still operating well. So, yeah, I'll do... Overall, for the full season, I'll do a C.
All right, Jordan, your letter grade.
I agree with what Dusty's saying there in terms of mix and fit, but I mean that should go along with the grade, along with the entire team. You might not be able to put that all on the players, but you certainly can put it on the coaching staff and the front office of having, you know, a mix of players that was not capable of being a playoff team minus pretty much one guy. Now, we had other injuries, but I mean, Rodgers going down is why we're not in the playoffs right now. So that's a problem. So for me, and I would agree with you, with Rodgers, the offense was fine. But with Hundley, this team was really, really bad. I mean, two shutouts. We got shut out twice. Two shutouts at Lambeau Field this year. That's insane that you can't even get into a range. I mean, we did get into range for field goals in those games, but man. I mean, then red zone turnovers. I mean, that's just... It's poor offensive play all the way. So my grade, I felt a D was a little bit too harsh considering what Rodgers was in, whatever that was, five or six games that he played. They were all right. So I gave a D plus to the offense over the entire year. And most of that has to deal with the ineffectiveness of Hundley back there. I know the running back, the running situation, is going to be a bright spot next year for sure, but it didn't help us enough in those games, considering like the Ravens game and the Vikings game, and getting points. So yeah, that's my offensive grade. So it's not pretty, but I think that's the grade they deserved.
Yeah, I'll be right in the same area as you. I go on C minus. You know, like I'll just resort to Dusty's response to my question and say that's my exact response to it. You know, when Rodgers was in, the offense was looking good. Hundley comes in and we remember the stinkers that happened, and it's really tough to, you know, kind of praise what this offense was like towards the end of the season. So it's going with a C minus, and we're going to move to the defensive side of the ball now. And Dusty, what grade do you give the defense this year?
This is another one I was going to be kind of harsh on, and I kind of mellowed out a little bit. I'm going to go C minus for this. They weren't. I would go F if I was looking at who they have, and this goes back to Jordan's thing as far as coaching. So coaching does factor into that. But with some of the guys they have, I mean, they shouldn't have been as bad as they were. They were, according to Football Outsiders, they were pass defense was 26th, which seems high to me, but the run defense was 8th. I mean, that front seven is stout. I mean, we talked about Daniels and Clark, but I mean, you know, Brooks was good this year when he was in, and I thought Dial was good when he was in, and Martinez was a beast, and Perry was good when he was in. Like, that run defense, barring a couple games, was really good. It was the pass defense that just got shredded, and you can, you know, if you want to, you can rationalize that out and say injuries. Everyone has injuries, and some of those injuries were like to Quentin Rollins, so it was better that he wasn't out there. So, you know, just whatever. So I'll go C minus. I think with the talent, we talked about it before the season, with the talent that they have, I don't think I'm overselling the talent. With the talent they have, it's not outlandish. I think this could be a top 10 defense. And for them to turn in 26th in pass defense is just preposterous. So I'd say a top 10 run defense doesn't make up for the fact that pass defense was once again shredded by vets, as we always knew. Was it after that first Lions game, Stafford basically said, yeah, we knew what the calls were going to be. We know that system. We knew exactly what was going to happen. Like, that's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I say unacceptable, and I'm giving him a C minus. I'd be a terrible teacher, just a terrible teacher. So yeah, I'll say it softens it because of the run defense, but C minus.
Jordan,
yeah, I'm gonna be as harsh on the defense as I on the offense. I'm going a solid D for the defense. Yeah, I mean, pass defense, we've been talking about it all year. In terms of the rush defense, I'm a little surprised that they were number 8. Just in terms of eye test, I haven't looked at the numbers. I know you have, Dusty. And just thinking of this defense, I think back to like the Tampa Bay game, getting shredded by, I can't even remember the guy's name, which should tell you something about that too. Another game that we should have won pretty handily, even with Hundley the way he was playing. That game had to go to overtime against a bad Buccaneers team. I don't know. It didn't seem even so that it was a top 10 rush defense to me. Seemed like there were a lot of big plays in the rush game, in the run game throughout the season. That could be just me looking at glass half empty, or just being frustrated with how the games were going on. And for the most part, it got later in the season when some of the secondary players started going down. But this is one of the healthiest years that the defense has had. And they were still as bad as they've been in the past, you know, past 3 or 4 seasons. So that's very disheartening. Even so, we talk about how if Hundley was marginally better, you know, they could have won a couple games. Same could be said about the defense. I look at that Pittsburgh game. They're just marginally better against Roethlisberger and Bell and Brown. They probably could have won that game. And in week 17 could have looked a lot different. Week 16 could have looked a lot different. So that's, you know, that's definitely on the defense. Again, coaching staff, front office. You know, it's all being grouped in there in my grading. So yeah, solid D for the defense this year.
I'm gonna go ahead and give it a D minus, just based on the fact that, I mean, obviously, Dom Capers hasn't had a good offense here and. Or, oh my gosh, I can't even. Just saying his name and getting him out of here just has me excited to a point where I can't even freaking talk anymore. But I'm so I'm been so done with these defenses. You know, like I think we've said it so many times throughout the year. We have insane individual talent on this team, on the defensive side of the ball. But the numbers just aren't there. I mean, 37 sacks this whole year. I mean, sack numbers are, you're telling, like, Clay Matthews and Nick Perry combined for 15.5 sacks. That just, that blows my mind a little bit. I mean, these guys, you know, should be right around at least 10 apiece. And, you know, Dom Capers prides himself in a turnover-based scheme type defense, and hardly seen any turnovers throughout the whole year. And it's just been a lot of, you know, not getting turnovers, not getting to the quarterback, and the teams just pile up yards, and they eventually especially with Hundley in there, I mean, they're outscoring us a whole bunch. So the defense was just not good for me this year, and I'm looking forward to a very, very, very bright future, hopefully, with this defense and the young talent that we have accumulated here over the past couple seasons now. So yeah, they're pretty much, they got a very, very, very bad grade from me, and I think it's a little bit deserved, I'd say. but yeah, that kind of wraps up. What? Wait, this just in. I'm getting the memo saying that we have one more to do. And that is handing out our Rookie of the Year award. I know it's the one that everyone waits for. And Dusty, do us the honors and give us who you think is Rookie of the Year.
Well, it seems like there's an obvious one here. And I'm going to go against that just because I assume you guys, one of you guys is going to pick that. I'm going to go Jamal Williams. You know, we saw Aaron Jones earlier in the season, and he's, you know, he's real flashy. He's real shifty. He's quick. He's fast. He's got really great hands. I really, really like Aaron Jones. I love him going forward. I'm going to go Jamal Williams just because I Jones got injured. We didn't really know. Like, Jones just started taking off. You don't really know what you have in Williams. I don't know about you guys. I mean, I've not watched a lot of college ball the past few years. I certainly don't watch BYU if I can help it. But all I had heard about Williams, you know, I watched some of his highlight stuff, was kind of like a downhill guy, kind of a tough, you know, if you need a, you know, short yardage stuff. Which, you know, they draft and they still keep Rutkowski for some reason, but just kind of a bruiser to you know, the thunder to Aaron Jones' lightning. And then you see Williams get out there, and he doesn't have the quickness of Jones, but he's shiftier than I thought he was going to be. He can make moves in the hole. He's decisive. He hits the hole hard. He's got quick feet for a bigger guy. He finishes runs. He can make some moves. And I think the bigger thing to me, and the reason I kind of have him over here, is kind of, it's what he did this year and also looking forward to next year. And Jones will probably improve in this, but man, Williams played pass protection like a vet. Like he came in, he knew the calls. That was something that, Jones was decent at, but he kind of struggled with as the season went on. Williams made a ton of just really, really nice pickups. He read the defense well. He read what the offensive line was doing well, and he made some really, really nice pickups and pass protection. So his numbers aren't as flashy as Jones. His game isn't as flashy as Jones. But for a guy that was a different player, a slightly different player than I thought he was going to be, and just what he offered in pass protection, I was just ridiculously impressed with Williams. So I'm giving my award to him. My rose goes to Jamal Williams.
Oh, that's awesome. Jordan, who is your Rookie of the Year?
Guys, I'm going to go on the other side of the ball. I'm going special teams. I'm going our punter.
Trevor Davis.
Justin Vogel.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah. A little bit outside the box. Yeah, the obvious ones you think of are the running backs, but this team has been looking for a good punter now for a couple seasons. I mean, last year you had the punter battle in training camp, and I believe then they were all cut, and then Jake Shum got picked up. And and Shum was not good last season. So it was happening again where you really wanted to get some production at the punting game, and Vogel was good. So it's nice to see that we have some, I cannot think of the word,
Just a guy that we know is going to be there for the next few years and be a solid punter. I think every time Shum came out to punt in a big spot, it was kind of like, oh boy, hit a good one, man, hit a good one. With Vogel, you didn't really have that concern. He had a couple bad games, but not for the most part. Going into next season, I think people are going to be very comfortable with him back there. So that's my go with Rookie of the Year. We're going to give the special team some love, because that's, in terms of the three facets of the of our team, I think special teams is clearly better than offense or defense this season. So we'll give some love to them.
All right, I am going to go with the other part of the two-headed monster in our backfield, and Aaron Jones. I will say, Dusty, that I love Jamal Williams' pass blocking ability more than Aaron Jones, but I feel as far as big play capability, that is 100% in favor of Aaron Jones, and we've seen it this season. Obviously the notable play is his game winning run on his first touch back from back from injury, and it's just, the guy, his cuts, I don't know if I've seen a player, a running back for the Packers who can cut like he can in a very, very, very long time. You can just tell that this kid knows how to run the football, and I love Jamal Williams as well. I think that kid can flat out run the ball equally as good as Aaron Jones. We should just be excited about these two youngsters that we got. They're crushed it this year, and definitely hats off to them. And I'm excited to see what these guys can do with a healthy Aaron Rodgers under center.
That's exciting. That's really exciting to look at what these guys did this year, and look at what they can do with Rodgers next year. Like, it is, it's ridiculously exciting.
It's just gonna make it. And what we're gonna do with Ty Montgomery, I think I really can't give you guys an answer for that right now. Yeah. I don't know if you have any inclination as to what might happen of Ty Montgomery, you throw him into the mix somehow, and it's gonna get crowded back there.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah. And Ty Montgomery could transition back to wide receiver just as fast, I think, as him coming back to playing running back.
You don't need to give him a position.
Yeah.
I mean, he's shown he can excel in either of them. Like, that's one of those things I was super excited about with both Cobb and Montgomery, was just, man, you go no huddle with Montgomery, Cobb, a tight end, whether that's Richard Rodgers or Kendricks, and a couple of receivers on the outside. You could legitimately, from that package, you could spread them out, or you can run power football. Like, that's what you want, as guys to exploit the mismatches. And you can do that with a guy like Montgomery. Like, you don't have to tie him to a spot. Like, he's shown he can be effective when he's healthy. When he's healthy, he can be effective as wide receiver or running back. I hate seeing him tied to one position, because he's a versatile guy, and we need to use that for mismatches.
Sounds like we need an offensive coordinator in here, Dusty.
Yeah, they're not returning my calls here.
I mean, hey, please, let's start the hashtag trend, Dusty for OC, and
that's gonna be you two guys, and that's gonna be
just
it.
Send your resume to Elliot Wolf. That's
I'm talking the OC as in the OC. They're doing a remake of the OC, and I want Dusty to be the main.
Oh, okay.
The main guy. Yeah.
Would he?
Yeah, I think I'm a little old. Is it just like, is it older people OC?
Yeah,
he could be the public defender dad,
I could probably pull that off. It's a good point, Jordan. Yeah,
there you go.
Oh, guys, hey, let's be honest about it. This year was, I think it definitely had us put a sour taste in our mouth for a lot of it, and it was kudos to all the true Packer Nation that sat through this and, just kept by this team. And it seems as if people are being held accountable right now, and there is a brighter sun coming up on the other side of the horizon right now. And there's a lot of things to be looking forward to next year. It sucks that we're not seeing playoff football right now, but that's just the reality of the game right now. But that kind of wraps up our little award ceremony, which was awesome. And we're going to get into our final thoughts, and that's it. So, Dusty, final thought, me.
Yeah, I've got a few. First one, cheapest tickets, guys. This is crazy to me. So we got the wild card round coming up, which, Jordan, I feel like you've gone on record as saying that wild card weekend is like your favorite weekend in sports.
Oh, I don't know about my favorite weekend in sports, but I do enjoy these games a lot. And even with this, even with this weekend of really strange matchups, I will be watching.
Yeah, it's, I mean, because you can carve out two games, you know, you're going to get a chance to watch both of them. You've got no overlap. I always look forward to it. It sucks the Packers are not in it, but yeah, it's going to be great. You can go to one of those games. If I told you could go to one of those games and you don't have to break the bank, would you believe me? And would you go? The answer is you probably won't go, but you should believe me, because you can go to Tennessee at Kansas City. Now, maybe like the least exciting matchup of the weekend, like the one that I'm, even though like, I love Mariota, the one I'm kind of least interested in this weekend, in KC, which I've talked about before, $38.
Man, why?
Not bad.
For a playoff game. I actually checked on this, Jordan, because that one time I flubbed up on Dallas and it was like $8, but it was like standing room only. No, this is like upper deck, like decent seats, not terrible seats, for $38.
Oh.
That's insane to me.
I know that stadium holds a lot of people, but that's still pretty remarkable for a playoff game. Not to mention the Chiefs were, I mean, for a while they were the best team in the NFL early on in the season, at least the most dangerous team. You know, they've certainly fallen off since then, but.
And I think I've been doing this since at least the middle of last year, and and I've talked about this a lot of times, and because of that, it's shocking to me because KC has a reputation of, like, you know, I think until Seattle literally built a stadium to trap in noise to beat them, they had the loudest stadium. Like, their fans are supposed to be just tremendous, and they show up on here a ton for a team in contention. It's shocking to me how often KC shows up on cheap tickets. But yeah, you can go to that game, which, again, I'm not interested in, but I'm still going to watch because it's football and I like football, for $38. That's not bad. That's the first game. That's 4:20 on Saturday. That's not terrible.
Yeah, you almost got me started on the whole Seattle Stadium thing. I don't want to. Oh. Talk about a pet peeve. They're not the best fans because they're so loud. You said it right on there. The stadium was designed to make that. So don't give me this stuff about the Seahawks being the best NFL fans.
Yeah, they
fans.
Actually had.
Ridiculous.
If I'm not mistaken, and Jordan, your rage is up, so you probably know more about this than I do. They actually hired an architect to figure out how best to funnel the sound back in.
Oh, no, I watched.
That's why they've got the things on there.
Yeah, I watched a 25-minute YouTube video on it. It's great. You hear about Legion of Boom and 12th Man and get out of here, 12th Seattle.
Man.
I'm so glad Seattle's not in the playoffs, guys. I'm so happy.
Oh my gosh, that was, I can't remember who said it. It may have been like Badger Noonan or someone on Twitter said something about, like, it stinks the Packers aren't in it, but, you know, part of me is really, really happy that the Seahawks are in it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm ridiculously petty. When I found out about that, it almost got rid of the sting of the Packers not being in it. I got very, very excited about it. Second, final thought. I'll go spooky movie. Guys, it's cold outside. I don't know how cold it's been where you guys have been. Probably, at least for John, probably colder. I woke up this morning. It was 0 degrees in Kentucky. It's been a while since it's been, like, legitimately 0 degrees here. So that got me thinking about snow movies. And I love me some snow movies. And you know what? You've got the obvious ones. You've got The Shining. You've got The Thing, which, you know, two of my favorite movies. I'm going to go another one. I believe it's Norwegian. I forgot to look this up because I was going to talk about The Thing, and then I decided to brush right by The Thing. It's called Cold Prey. It's about a group of friends that go to a ski resort, and one of the friends breaks its leg, and, you know, there's a guy in that just starts killing people. It's all of the characters in it I really like, so that's kind of different for a slasher movie. It got kind of a really cool looking feel to it, because it's you know, you watch enough American horror movies, which I do, and a lot of them kind of start to feel the same, which I don't really have an issue with, but you kind of get a different style when you go with something foreign. So go Cold Prey. There's actually three of them. The third one's garbage, but the second one's kind of awesome. It kind of takes the Halloween thing where one of the survivors ends up in a hospital. But it's really, really cool. You got this really bleak setting in this basically abandoned hotel with snow everywhere, and this guy killing off these five or six friends. It's if you're looking for a movie, it's snowy, it's cold outside, and you're looking for something a bit outside the norm, check out Cold Prey. It's and if you like that one, go with Cold Prey too. They're worth your time.
Dusty, have you seen Santa Claus before?
God, no, I heard you guys talking about that. I was very upset. I was actually going to watch that this week just so I had something to talk about. I've not seen that one. I've seen a lot of bad Christmas movies. I've not seen
it. I highly recommend it.
Did you watch it?
No, without even seeing it, I highly recommend it.
All right.
One more.
I'm going to try to do it by the next time we record, I think.
That'd be awesome.
One more thing about Cold Prey, Dusty. I just looked on their Wikipedia page. Because I never hear these movies that you always bring up, so I always look them up. Apparently, WWE Studios has purchased the English language remake rights. So there's going to be there's going to be an American remake directed by Vince McMahon. Apparently,
WWE has turned in some they did like the Leprechaun remake, which was garbage with the friggin' Hornswoggle was the Leprechaun.
That was them.
It came out like
Hornswoggle.
Yeah, it was like 4 years ago. It came out. It was garbage. And I feel like they've done a couple other ones that were actually... No, they did See No Evil. At least they did See No Evil 2, and that movie was decent. I like
that's
that
one. That that's with Kane, right?
That's with Kane.
Okay.
And then WWE, I think, only did the sequel, which was the Saska Twins directed it, and it had, like, Catherine Isabel and stuff in it. And that one was a lot of fun. And Kane is just, I don't know, relatively forgettable. Is just, like, the silent guy that goes around killing
did
people.
They do, did they do the Marine 5 with John Cena? Was that them?
Sure they did. I think Cena was only in one. They just got steadily down the WWE pole with each.
Oh, it wasn't
each Marine that went
it,
on.
It wasn't John Cena. It was the Miz. I take that back. The Miz was
it Miz?
Was in the
say Cena was
the Marine 5.
Cena was in the first one. Cena was in the Marine.
Oh, he was in the Marine.
They kept
okay.
making him. Yeah, he was in the original. Yeah, I watched that one. It was John Cena and Robert Patrick was the villain in that.
Ted DiBiase Jr. was in number 2. The Million Dollar Man's Son. Fantastic.
Again, Sexual Chocolate showed up at some point and no one knew what was going on. Like, Mark Henry, I don't think this guy actually made it into the Marines. What is this?
Special Forces.
crap. Oh, I got one more. Thanks, Jordan. Hey, does it say when Cold Prey is coming out or are they just working
It's in development. Stay tuned.
Okay. All right. It's going to be a little bit. Okay. Well, watch the original first and get ready for the no doubt WWE blockbuster.
Straight to DVD blockbuster.
Oh, absolutely straight to DVD blockbuster. I'm going to go. I think we've talked about this before, but man, the Packers aren't in the playoffs and that sucks. But, you know, I'm all in on the Rams this year. I'm excited. I like that offense. The defense is fun. I know Brian has talked about it before many, many times because Brian says lots of things many, many times. But, you know, Packers passing up Wade Phillips twice stinks, and seeing him in L.A. kind of stinks. But kind of what he's doing with that defense is fun, and that offense is just a blast to watch, and kind of what they were last year with a lot of the same pieces of this year. Man, I hope they don't lose first round. But I want to kind of latch onto a team. If the Bills win, I may have to go with the Bills just out of sheer morbid curiosity. But I think I'm gonna have to go. I'm gonna go Rams just because that team is ridiculously fun to watch. So I decided to adopt a team, and then whenever that team loses, I'm not gonna cry. I'm gonna pick another one. But for this first round, at the very least, I'm going Rams, and I'm going in hard. Not hard enough to actually like buy any gear because you know I'm not rich. You know, I don't have a sweatshirt or anything, but I'm excited about him. I'm excited to watch him.
Just go $20 on a Jared Goff jersey.
That's not a bad idea.
I don't feel like that's.
I'll go Aaron Donald.
Okay.
I may do that. I may get some Aaron Donalds or
I like that.
We'll do that. But yeah, those are my five. Oh yeah, and also I have a child. This is my fourth one. I should have put that higher, guys.
Best for last.
We talked about it at the top. I don't think I said his name yet. We had a rough time with his name. Went Alexander Lewis, which I like the name. My little girl's name is Olivia, and so we really like kind of the pairing of Olive and Alex. It sounded like
I like it.
Yeah, they sound like they could be like a good cop bad cop kind of buddy cop thing or something. Like
so
that being okay.
You will call him Alex.
We're calling him Alex now. Yeah.
Okay.
That was the plan. My brother, who's, a big Buffy fan, as I am, is calling him Xander already. So, we're going to see which one sticks.
What if he's one of those kids that goes by his middle name when he hits, like, 15?
I was pushing for Lewis as a first name.
Okay.
because my favorite baseball player is Lou Whitaker. I always like Sweet Lou, so I was like, I'd be fine with, you know, him adopting the nickname Sweet Lou.
I've always, that's what I've said. Like, whenever I have a kid, he's going to grow up to be a famous athlete, of course. And, you know, the best is when a person has an ooh name in it, so then you can just do the, you know, the Lou or the, that's, so you said, ooh. So it's good. So in case your child does do that, then he's gold.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm setting him up for success, no matter which name he goes with.
Well done. Well done.
But yeah, it's been he's 5 days old. It's been tiring, but yeah, he's been doing good, and the name was not a disaster. We were terrified of the name, so yeah, everything's going well. Those are my final thoughts. You can find me on Twitter at Dusty Evely and my football stuff, which I've got one more Packers game to post some stuff up, which maybe tonight. And then, you know, Rams, all Rams all the time until they lose this weekend. So that's at All-22 Talk. You can find those.
The Rams are going to lose this weekend?
No. They better not, because I'm really pushing for them hard.
No, they're not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Jordan, your final thoughts.
Guys, I only have a couple. First, I have a confession to make to Packer Nation. I actually did not watch a single second of the Packers-Lions game this past Sunday. And the reason was is I was offered free tickets for a UConn women's basketball game.
Oh, nice.
Which, yeah, so it was actually a lot of fun. It was downtown Hartford. I went there with my my old roommate Evan, his sister, and her boyfriend or fiance. I can't remember which one. Hopefully, if I messed it up, I'm not sure. But well, we went to downtown Hartford for the game. When we got there, we noticed that a lot of the fan base was considerably older, like very old. all around us, it seemed to be people in about their 60s and 70s. So this is just kind of a funny thing. So my buddy Evan, he checks out Gino Auriemma, the coach at UConn, his Wikipedia page. He found out that him and Jim Calhoun, the men's basketball coach at the time, did not have a good relationship. They were called unfriendly rivals. Apparently, Jim Calhoun said about the UConn women's basketball fan base that it was, quote, the world's largest nursing home. I could not believe that I had never heard that quote before, but we found it hilarious when my buddy found that out. So that was just something there. But yeah, there was a lot of old people at the game, but it was impressive. I think they only won by 48 points. They didn't get to 100, which was disappointing. So it's insane how much better than they are than everybody else. So, but it was fun, and they were free tickets, so I wasn't mad about that. Number two. After that, we did get back to see the 4:15 games, and I know you're all in on the Rams, Dusty. I am all in on the Bills this year, and I'll tell you why. My first venture into fantasy football was actually with my brother and his college buddies, and one of his college buddies goes by the name of Dave Livingston. Is born and raised in Buffalo, big Bills fan. So ever since I'd known him, which is, oh my gosh. Yeah, at least 10 years. No, longer than that. About 15 years ago, I guess. The Bills have always been my AFC team, so I was actually watching the Ravens-Bengals game, and I saw that 4th and 12 play live to send the Bills in. I was extremely excited. It was one of those where I got to my feet. I was jumping around after that play. I was super excited. So I am all in on the Bills. I'm excited for my friend Dave. You know, excited for Bills fans. It's a long time to not even go to the playoffs and just to actually have a playoff game. So, and also too, if the Bills win, you guys know who they play. They play the New England Patriots, and bring I would it. Love to see a Patriots Bills playoff matchup. I think that'd be fantastic. I don't think the Bills could ever win that game, but I'd love to see that matchup in the second week of the playoffs. So those are my final thoughts, guys.
All right, and I have a couple, and then we'll be done. First one is I'm just going to reiterate what Dusty said earlier. It is freaking cold outside. I don't know if there's been a morning that has started off in the last, like, 2 weeks here in Wisconsin that has been in above zero temps. It's been negative every single morning. I'm out there working in this stuff, and let's just say... You know, I'm getting used to it. It's gonna help my ice fishing body. And that's all I keep telling myself, you know, making it seem like everything is all right, but it is cold. The other final thought that I have, and I know it's a little bit in advance, but I don't know when the last time we're going to be doing final thoughts is. I know that we're going to be, you know, coming to you with some mini episodes and things like that. We don't really have the off season map completely laid out right now. So I will just say that Champions League is coming up here in the middle of February. And for those of you that don't know what that is, it's the greatest soccer tournament there is, besides the World Cup, I'd say. But it's pairing two of my all-time favorite teams against each other in Chelsea and Barcelona. And I am absolutely 100% torn. I think I'm leaning more towards Chelsea's way. But it sucks that they got paired up against each other in the round of 16. Because I was really hoping that it could potentially be the final. So I'm going to have to just going to sit back and relax. But seriously, if you guys are not watching Champions League, I seriously urge you and plea that you guys start watching Champions League. Dusty, start watching it. It's the greatest thing. It's the greatest thing on planet Earth.
We'll see, John. I got stuff to do. I don't have cable. I think that's part of it. I don't have cable, and it's all in cable.
Reddit is...
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
John. Reddit is it. Every time I need something, Reddit just has everything I could ever want. So shout out Reddit. Hopefully they'll be, doing all that stuff. I just encourage you, watch Champions League. It's amazing, amazing soccer being displayed. The best teams in the world compete, and it's awesome. So, with that being said, guys, it's been a blast this year doing the podcast with you. I would want to do it with no other people besides you guys. And I'm so glad that Brian's not here, and it made the episode that much better. And, like I said earlier, we should all be, you know, proud of, you know, the way that this team did play. Obviously a huge negative was Aaron going down, and, it did seem like the team, you know, had some low points, but at the same time, they did rally very well at certain points. And I mean, you know, you have the Pittsburgh game where they go to Heinz Field and almost, you know, go in there and take out what you could argue is potentially a Super Bowl favorite this year. There's moments like that this year where it just showed that this team has so much fight in it. And we're looking forward to what this next year holds for them. And we're looking forward to seeing what the offseason moves are going to be. And guys, don't for a second think that you're not going to get all the top intel on the offseason moves from any other place besides Pack to the Future. You know why? Because we got Dusty Easley, we got Brian Funfair, we got Jordan Peck, we got my stupid idiot thoughts that just make these guys sound even better. So please keep tuning in, because, you know, we might have a week off every once in a while here. But we keep the coverage coming, guys. There's no off season when it comes to the Packers, and we like to consider ourselves pretty up to the minute, at least up to the week. So, guys, keep checking us out. We're on Twitter, PTTF_podcast. I'm on Twitter @JohnJameson, no underscore or anything. I got the real name on there. Booyah! All you John Jamesons of the world, you can suck it. Hey. You know, going off a little tangent, it's fine. We are Packed to the Future. Thank you for tuning in this year, guys. Thank you. Huge shout out to Handmade by Heroes for picking us up and sponsoring us. We love you guys. Thank you so much for doing that. And, guys, we are always, always, always jacked up about Packer football. Always and forever. And we look forward to continuing to do this for many, many, many years to come. Thank you. God bless. Packer season in the books. Pack of the Future does not stop, because we are Pack of the Future.